All right, go ahead and take your Bibles, and let's go ahead and go ahead and turn to John 3. And I just want to bring really just a message kind of tying into that. And we have done a lot of talking about how they evangelized over there, kind of what they did. Ironically, they were primarily dealing with Seventh-day Adventism, which was the main group that I think was more the opposition over there. And I'm sure what you hear more about. But then yesterday, we actually got a book in the mail from Seventh-day Adventist. I think it's a lady wrote the book. It's, I don't know, it looks like it. But it talks about, and they're big on this. They actually believe that if you worship on Sunday, that that's the mark of the beast, and that you're going to go to hell over that. Right? And that you guys dealt with that. Right? And I believe Brother Hewitt dealt directly with that and showed how Paul worshiped on Sunday. And then he confronted that guy and said, are you saying the Apostle Paul is in hell because of that, right? And that guy wouldn't answer, right? So you have to know how to deal with these things. But here's a whole book, and it's sent out to the residents. I think all the residents around here got it. And the whole point of that book is to say that if you worship on Sunday, you're going to hell. It's the mark. They literally connect it to be the mark of the beast. I'd ask you a question. What are we doing to get the truth out? Because they're working really hard to get false doctrine out. Does that make sense? And I think that's what we have a need to get the truth out. We have a need once received, then also to disciple. So I sort of teach and preach a message today called The Fourfold Purpose of Every Person. The Fourfold Purpose of Every Person. A lot of people are looking for purpose in life, looking for something that in a sense, once accomplished, would be fulfilling to them, right? And so the fourfold purpose of every Christian. Number one, the Bible's very specific in that we must be born again. In Mark 1:15, it says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That is a command to every person on earth to repent, which means to turn from every other means of salvation, to turn from our own works, to turn from any other religion, man-made or other, however it's perceived, to turn from our own sin, to turn from everything, and to put our faith and trust specifically in a person, his name's Jesus Christ, for the salvation, the eternal salvation of our soul. And so that is a command for all. That's why this is a fourfold purpose for every person. In John 3, I had you turn over there. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, very familiar passage, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I actually saw a video today of a guy. He was interviewing a gal, and she actually said this. She said, if God stood in front of me miraculously, God was standing, and I knew it was him. She said, if I knew for a fact that it was God, he was standing in front of me, I'd still reject him. That's what she said. I was like, what? And so he used that to say, we have gone so far today that it's not just about people understanding or having evidence. There are a lot of people today that even if they were given the evidence would still say, no way am I worshiping anybody, especially that one that them people have been preaching out of that Bible for all these years, because they are their own God and they're not going to allow anyone, even God himself, to replace that. So that's very interesting, but it is a command for all of us to be born again. John 3:7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm going to give a couple other verses on this. If you want to turn to Acts 2, you're welcome to. Acts 18, I'm just going to read a couple verses. Most of these you're familiar with. 1 Corinthians 12. But in Acts 2, verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Gladly. Nobody is forced into becoming a Christian. Aren't you glad for that? Nobody has to become a Christian. You have complete free will. You can absolutely reject. Everyone can reject, but the beauty of it is everyone can also accept. Amen. And so it's a voluntary thing, amen? But yet the information needs to be out there so that they can gladly receive. Remember, it says his word. It's not just receiving the concept of God, it's receiving the very word of God. Then in Acts 18:8, it says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, amen? And of course, then after that says that they were baptized. And so we find that it's for all. The chief leaders here and there, the chief rulers, the those that would be beggars, those that are with infirmity, those that are completely well. It is for absolutely everybody, every walk of life, all human beings. We all have the same issue. We must be born again. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, a couple of verses here, 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12. This is an important text because it shows that once saved, God wants to assemble us into something. And it says in verse number 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That bringing in together. And then verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So once we get saved, then of course we're going to go through, be baptized, and then join a church. And then it's through that's actually going to bring about what our next really purpose would be. Let's go ahead and jump to number two in reference to this. First, we must be born again, and then we must yield to God in believer's baptism and join a local church. That's spelled out very clearly. And I'll just give you one other verse on this. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, that same passage, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members are rejoice with it. And what you find in a local church is actually a called out assembly. That's what the word ekklesia actually means, that Greek word behind the word church. A called out assembly of believers that in a sense have a relationship together, that learn how to trust each other and co-labor together and work together, cry together, amen, laugh together, and do the work of God together. Can I say, a lot of you might not be real understanding of the reality of what takes place outside of, especially some of the young people growing up in church and everything. You might not realize how lonely it is in the world. You might not realize how special it is to have a church family. But I'm telling you, it's special. And it's something, I mean, one of us have an issue and we call somebody and all that. I mean, we can get some help, we can get some prayer. We get people that actually do love us. I mean, that is really, really special. But can I say, as special as that is, that whole arrangement is for a purpose, amen? Because God has given us a very personal job to do on this earth, of which we are going to receive a lot of flack for, amen? And so from the outside, we're going to get a lot of flack, but from the inside, we ought to get a lot of support. Amen. And so that structure of that church is vital. So God has called, number one, God has called us first to be born again and then to be baptized, which means basically we would identify with that local church's doctrine, letting them lay hands on us and baptize, amen, church of like faith or our church, so that we are unified. Remember in Ephesians 4, it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so we have to endeavor to keep that thing right. And so we have to start from the same position, right? That's why what we believe in what's called a regenerated church membership, right? And that just means that we all have a testimony of salvation. We all start this thing the same. And we're all willing to go through those baptismal waters, amen? And then, of course, then join that church. And so we have a commonness together. And so, number one, a fourfold purpose of every Christian, every person, no matter who you're looking at on earth, the purpose for every person on earth, number one, the purpose is that they're saved. And with that salvation, once saved, God's will is then that they're baptized and are added to a local body. Amen? And you say, well, why is that the case? Well, that's going to tie into number two. Number two, purpose of every believer on earth. This is very simplistic. By the way, I like simple things. Amen? I like to keep things simple. Amen. I don't like things to be complex. If they are complex, I like to break them down so they're not simple. Amen. And so this is just keeping things simple. By the way, sometimes in life we complicate things. Amen. And we don't do well when things are complicated. Amen. So we just want to go back to the basics, always going back to the basics. Amen. That's where we find help. So number two, the second purpose then after the first, these are in order, would be that you would become a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you would be discipled. Amen. When you first get saved, you're what the Bible calls a babe in Christ. And it's likened unto a baby, right? And so a baby, when it's born, as cute as it is, it wouldn't do well surviving on its own, right? It knows how to cry, knows how to eat, and then get rid of that stuff, amen? But beyond all that, it doesn't know how to do many things, amen? I mean, it even struggles. Sometimes they'll hold your finger and all that. That's really cute. That's really awesome, amen? But that's about it, amen? They got a long way to go. And so it's necessary that somebody unlike themselves, right? A bunch of babies in the room ain't going to help each other out, right? Well, that's just simplistic view of things. And so you need some mature people. I mean, if you're a mother, would you leave your baby, let's say, a two-year-old? Would you say, that two-year-old can take care of my newborn just fine? No, they're not quite ready. Amen? Some five-year-olds can at least do, four-year-old, five-year-olds can help some. But we probably still wouldn't leave them alone with that five-year-old, right? And then depending on maturity level up the line until, I don't know, by the time they're, at least a teenager, they ought to at least be able, probably younger than that, but at least that you would make feel safe leaving them alone for a time, but probably still not raising that child, right? It takes a mature person to be able to 24/7 deal with all the issues of a baby. Because babies don't always sleep through the night, and they like to, inconvenience the mother and all kinds of things, right? And unless you're real mature, you're not going to handle that well. Amen? And so what discipleship is, is when a young Christian allows an older, mature Christian to lead them so that they can be taught the things of God, so they can begin to practice the things of God. Does that make sense? That's what discipleship is. And it takes two things. Number one, it takes someone willing to do the discipling, and it takes them yielding to that discipleship, right? And sometimes it's difficult to get both those worked out, amen? But that's what it takes. And so very important. I want to give you a couple other verses here. You can turn over to Matthew 16, actually. Matthew 16, I'll read you two other verses. One in John 13, verse 35. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So that's a trait of a disciple. Well, how do you learn that love? By first off, the love of God is in your heart, but then there has to be a reciprocating of that. And other believers enable you to be able to be exercised in that same love that they have, that you have been given, that they have been given. Amen? And then in John 15 and verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples." So as a new disciple, you should desire to have that love of God, by the way, which is a giving love, being a servant to others, caring for others, and then also you should desire to bear fruit. And you might not even know what that is yet, amen. But remember, Christ is the vine, we are the branches, we bear fruit through him. One of those would be witnessing, that's a fruit, right? Having joy, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, loving others, of course. And there's different fruits in Christianity that we actually bear, and that it's meant for others to partake of so that they can begin to understand what you have to offer them, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not a fruit-bearing Christian and you try to witness to somebody, they're not really all that likely to listen to you because they need to see that in your life. It's like Romans 2 deals with this. Trying to teach somebody something that you've not yet learned yourself is a very difficult proposition, amen? And so bearing fruit, very important. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, say, what does deny himself mean? Well, it means denying your own dreams, your own aspirations, your own potential career for some of us, amen. Your own likes and dislikes, your own life is what it means. And basically, you take your whole life and you give that to God and you say, God, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to follow. And he may leave many of those things in your life there, and he may not. But we give that to God, and we let God decide. And that's what this is. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And you all know Christians who say, God, I got saved, but you ain't touching my life. You ain't touching this. You ain't touching this. You ain't touching this. You ain't taking these things from me. They're mine. That's a wrong posture for a believer. And the Lord will work on those until you finally get to that place you're willing and ready, amen, to yield that to God as well. But that's going to be more of a mature thing, amen, as God works on you. And it says in verse number 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Those are works of God that take place when we yield to him, as it says in Romans 12. And then in Ephesians 4, if you'd look over there, please, Ephesians 4, being a disciple just simply means that I take an interest in being taught the Word of God so I can know God's will for my life. And I can know what God, how he's designed everything, how he's put things together, cause and effect. If he created everything, then he knows how everything works. If God created people, he knows how people work. Amen? He knows everything. Amen. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so being a disciple is just simply like with Mary and Martha. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she was taught of him. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And Jesus said she had chosen the better part. Why? Because she was taking the time to listen so then she could apply what the Lord had taught her. Amen. And that's what church is a lot about. Amen. Unfortunately, I don't think that we're able to capture everything that's being taught. I don't think everybody captures that. But I will say this, whether you do or not, this is a God-ordained plan for God's people to be given instruction. It's through preaching. It's by the foolishness of preaching the Bible talks about. Not that it's foolish, but the world calls it foolish. This is how Paul did it. This is how people in the Word of God, this is what took place, amen? And so it's incumbent upon, number one, the preacher to preach the Word of truth, but it's also incumbent upon the believer to take an interest. But this is preaching, and then there is discipleship. And discipleship is where you not only take an interest, but then someone else comes along and helps you on a one-on-one basis to deal with those things and help you to be able to ask those questions and learn so you can grow and you can just begin to take in these things and mature as a believer. Amen. Now in Ephesians 4 in verse number 20, it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. And I was talking about some things in reference to the world. And then he says this, if so be that ye have heard him. And that is very important. There are some people that sit in church all their life and they never hear. They never take the time to listen. And that's a very sad thing. And I think people that do that are highly accountable because they were in a place to hear, but they never heard. Amen. If you've been through any college classes, you'll know that it's harder to learn in college than it is to learn in church, because professors in college, they're called professors for a reason. That's what they do. They the info out, and then it's on you to learn it, right? That's a typical college. It's just how it works, amen? Some of those college classes will have 200-400 people in it, right? And that's what a professor is. That's not a college isn't full of teachers. I'm not saying every church thing. I'm just saying in general, the big colleges, the universities, they're full of professors, not teachers. They're called that for a reason. Amen. Because it's by the time you get to be 18, 19, 20 years old, you better have figured out how to learn on your own. Amen? That's why the homeschool curriculum we use is it teaches that. It's a directed studies approach. So that the more you go through it, by the time you're in 12th grade, you don't really need a teacher anymore. You're able to learn through the material. Say, why? Because that's what life's like. Does that make sense? That's how it's supposed to be, whether it worked out that way for you or not. That's how it's supposed to be. Amen? Because in school, if you buy into that where I have to be taught thing, that always becomes an excuse. Someone that says, well, I don't know how to do that. Why not? I was never taught. Okay. Well, why didn't you teach yourself then? How many here say, every time I need something, I have to have someone teach me because I can't learn any other way? How many say, that's me, but I'm afraid to raise my hand? Well, that's a bad spot to be. Because at some point, you have to take what you've been given and learn how to apply that to your own life. And can I say, as you grow in Christianity, there is a time where you need to be taught. But then you need to mature to where now I teach myself and I don't need to be spoon-fed everything. Amen? Say, well, what age is that? I would say this. If you've been a Christian any longer than 5 years, if you've not got to that point yet, something's wrong with you and your Christianity. Amen? Because you've been given something and you need to do something with it. Amen? And begin to learn how to grow and read and let the Holy Spirit instruct you. And if you have questions, ask those questions and take an interest and do reports and do study and dig. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you will get insanely interested in the word of God, then you're going to grow. You're going to learn. You're going to grow. You say, well, I need to be taught things that aren't in this book. You got the wrong perspective, buddy, because I don't need anything that's not in this book. I need enough instruction to do two things. I need enough instruction so that I can win souls and disciple people. That's all I need. What else do we need knowledge for? Can anybody tell me one more thing we need knowledge for? Based on the commands of God. I need enough instruction out of the Bible to do two things. Win souls and disciple people. Is that right? And what am I discipling them in? The basic things of Christianity. We could sit around and debate all we want about the rapture and about eschatological events. We could talk about ecclesiology. We could talk about all kinds of ologies. At the end of the day, does it matter? I mean, it's great. One of these days when I'm in heaven, I can't wait. I'm going to know perfectly these things. But for today, I'm called to do two things. I'm called to win souls and disciple and teach them to do the same. Amen? And that's what we need to specialize in as a church. And this is what we see here, fourfold purpose of every believer. Number one, we must, or every person, number one, must be born again. Number two, we are called to be a disciple. Do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's number two. Do you consider yourself a student, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ? Because if not, that's where you're at. Right there. And that's the next step you need to get to. You need to realize that you, as a Christian, will never grow until you take an interest in the Word of God yourself. And we can't put that on other people. Sure, others are there to help, right? But that's on us. There has to be an interest. Have you ever taught somebody who didn't want to learn? Anybody ever do that? How much fun is that? It's horrible. That's what it is. It is horrible, amen. And so now for the young ones, you young Sunday school teachers and all that, I feel for you, amen. You have to somehow capture their attention, right? And in the 3 minutes that you have their attention, because it changes so fast, you got to get them something. because they're going to be off to something else real soon. Amen. And then you got to peel them off the wall and you got to capture their attention again, right? And give them something else real quick, right? That's how it works when they're real, real young. But man, by the time they're up in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, hopefully ninth, 12th grade, amen. Hopefully by that point, they're already engaged. They come in and they're engaged. And if they're not, you're probably not going to be able to capture their attention as easy as it was when they were younger, right? There are some ways, but man, it's harder to knock that. It's harder to get that done. And wait till they're an adult. Amen. I've had a lot of talks with John Haley and trying to teach the adult Sunday school class. So funny. Amen. And it's just different teaching adults. And what I like about our church is the fact that most of y'all think for yourself. Amen. That's a good thing. And you've done some study. You know some things. That's great. Boy, it sure does put it on the teacher to know a few things if you're going to teach that group. Amen. Because they are engaged. And that is wonderful. That is good. But boy, you take a group of adults that aren't engaged. Man, that's tough stuff, amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying you, individually, have to take an interest in being a disciple. You have to want to learn. What would you say to me if I said this? I'm called to just say Australia. That's kind of one that's been around a lot. I'm called to Australia. I have a heart. I want to see those people saved. Is that a good thing? And then you say something like this to me. Well, how are you doing anything in your own hometown to win souls? No. Do you read your Bible every day? Man, I'd like to, but you know, life happens, things happen. Are you studying anywhere in the Bible? Do you take any time to study? No. Do you memorize it? No. I don't got time. Once I get on the field, I am going to be a good missionary. What do y'all think about that? No, he's not. Because I'm not doing it here. I ain't going to do it over there. Because the same issues that keep me from it here would keep me from it there. And by the way, the number one issue keeping me from it here would be me. Right? Does that make sense? And so a disciple has learned that he needs to read his Bible every day, he needs to pray, he needs to study his Bible, and he needs to be faithful to the things of God. And if you're not there yet, you're not even to this stage yet. And by the way, nobody you put in your life can make you gain an interest. They may force you to go through the motions, but if it ain't in your heart to self-start, it won't be in your heart when you're forced to do it. And it will only cause you frustration. Because if you're not engaged enough to take an interest in America, amen, of all places, where we're free. No one's like breaking in right yet, amen. No, I mean we're not being pressed against. We're not losing because of this. We're not at that place yet. I mean, so if you're not in the freedom, in the freedom of this thing, if you're not at that place yet, then you're not even a disciple yet. Amen? After I got saved, I got so interested in the Word of God. I was working a full-time job at ATA, working over 40 hours, 40 to 60 hours a week. I enrolled in Bible college simply because I wanted to learn more. I was a youth director. I was coming to church every time the doors were open. I'm not saying look at me. All I'm saying is I got insanely interested in the Word of God. That's what happened to me. And that has to happen to you if you're going to grow. Nobody else can do it for you. There is no pill you can chuck down, amen. There is no group you can connect yourself with. There's no get rich quick in the Bible. They're just not. And by the way, if you're not a disciple, you're not going to be able to train others to be a disciple. You might try, but here's what you'll do. You'll start to train somebody, but just like you lose interest to even read your own Bible, you'll lose interest in training them too. Is that crazy? That's why these things need solidified in your own life so that then you can pour your life into others. Amen. Ephesians 4 talks about, all the way through verse number 32, all the things to put off and put on. And it's just absolutely amazing. But those are some things that you need to learn all the way through verse number 32. Now, number three. So first was you must be born again, baptized, added to a local church. Number two, you must be interested in being a disciple. Does anybody get saved without being interested in getting saved? Nobody? You mean to tell me everybody that really got saved actually wanted to? Okay. Can I say nobody becomes a disciple without really wanting to either? That's why a lot of times you hear people talk about there's a point you get saved and then there's the point you surrender. And what surrender really is when you finally decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. And that's when you get interested in what he has to say. Amen. And that's what we call, that would be the beginning of your discipleship. Amen. And then number three, once you become a disciple and you're taught some things, now it's time, quite honestly, to effectively spread the gospel and lead others to Christ. Amen. If I was to say in this room, how many people are, you know, have led someone to Christ, actively lead, I mean, I don't know how many would raise their hand, but I know this, that is our job as Christians, and it's one thing that's not done real well. Amen. We're not real effective at it. Amen. And we need to be. And we would all agree that we need to be. But before we can do that, we're going to have to first be a disciple. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just going to give you just a short time we have tonight. Just 4 points. Number one, each person needs to be saved. And then number two, each person needs to be a disciple. And then number three, once that happens, then you need to spread the gospel and lead people to Jesus. And can I say, there for a Christian, there's no greater joy, quite honestly, in your Christian life than to lead someone else to the saving knowledge of the Savior. Seeing them rescued from their sin and seeing them born again, I'm telling you, it's pretty much likened unto getting born again, amen. It's just absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. And it's really good stuff, amen. But if you've never had that opportunity, I pray that you do. In number three here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means you're saved, amen. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You say, I just have never been put into the ministry. Well, this passage says you have, amen. You've been given a ministry as a Christian. I've been given a ministry. And I have a ministry here in my local church in reference to each of us. But then I also have, and we all have a ministry out to win souls to Jesus. We all have those same ministries, amen. That ministry, all of us combined as well. And so it says in this text, and it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why I said earlier, what we really need to know and spend our time focusing on is, number one, what do I need to know to follow Christ? And what do I need to know to communicate the gospel? And what I learn in reference to following Christ is what I will then use as I disciple others. So that is the main thing that I need to understand today. How I got saved, how to lead others to Christ, and then how really to get out of baby stage, to get the base doctrines down so that the individual can grow. Amen? So that the individual can grow. And so all of us that have children, so far it's worked out that as they get older and all that, they kind of develop their own lives. Right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. They don't need us as much anymore. Amen? You might say, is that sad? Absolutely not. And now that's what we raised our kids for. We didn't raise our kids so they'd stay at home until they're 60. Because, man, we'd be really old about that point. Amen. Amen. We raised our kids like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, right? You want to shoot them out into the world, right? Not to be of the world, but so that they can influence that world. That's what we do. That's how we've raised our kids. And so the point is this, is that same is true of Christianity. Is that when we see someone get saved, the goal is not to keep them attached to us so that we have to keep spoon feeding them. The goal is that they get the base doctrines down so that they can begin to grow, amen, as they study their Bible. And my hope is, Bob, I came into this thing late. I mean, I was 25 when I got saved. And so a lot of y'all got saved before that. So I'm looking forward to y'all just running right by me because you've had more time at this thing, amen. I'm not going to wait for you to catch up, but you can. You can run right by me, amen. And I applaud you for that. I want you to do that. And that's how Christianity works. But we have to be discipled in the base things first. And so we ourselves are discipled. And then we pick up this ministry of reconciliation. We lead others to Jesus. And then, of course, we need to disciple that person. A couple other passages in reference to preaching the gospel to others. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just given to pastors, that's given to each of us that are born again. Amen. Hebrews 13, John 4, all much the same. And then fourthly, once we take an interest and we become disciples, we get the base things down. We start then communicating the gospel to others. We lead people to Christ. Okay, this is where we then gain a responsibility. How would you think about this? A person, a guy and a gal have a baby, and they have a baby. This is a nice baby. They have a baby, and they say, that was amazing. Wasn't that amazing having that baby? That was just absolutely amazing. We cried, we laughed, we just enjoyed that. So much fun. So you know what? It's time to go home. Wait a second. That's what we usually do when we lead someone to Christ. Glad I got to experience that with that person. See you later, buddy. And we desert them. They need us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. How many remember who led you to Jesus? Anybody? Amen. That person holds a spot in their heart for you. And we have a responsibility to them. Do we not? And sometimes it doesn't work out. We can personally disciple them. Man, if it can, we need to. And if it doesn't, we need to make sure they're being discipled. Just like sometimes it doesn't work out for parents to actually parent their child. I can't imagine that. But for a whole series of things potential, boy, if that was the case where I had to walk away from parenting my children, I would sure make sure they're taken care of by someone that I would want to take care of. Amen. But that would not be the norm, would it? Wouldn't be the norm for, I mean, no way. I mean, I know Dana went before that, and she'd probably just about throw down over it, amen. She does that every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, the point is that when we lead someone to the Lord, look at what Paul said about it in 1 Timothy 1:2. 1 to Timothy, what's he say there? My what? My own son. In the faith. Do you see that? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul led Timothy to the Lord. Timothy was there in the region of Galatia, and he led him to the Lord on that first missionary journey. He would leave and come back and continue that discipleship. And ultimately, Timothy would remain with Paul, and Paul would disciple him to the place that he would be able to pastor the church at Ephesus. Isn't that amazing? And so he took an interest there. 2 Timothy 2 And verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will. Some might say, well, I don't have a problem passing out tracts and witnessing to people. Man, I don't want to disciple anybody. That is no different than you saying, man, I don't mind having babies. I don't want to raise them. That would be the same thing. Right? I don't mind having them, but man, let someone else raise them. Listen, if you're going to lead someone to Jesus, man, if at all possible, if you are at all able, you should take that time and dedicate yourself to making sure they get discipled to the point that they now can train themselves to the place of maturity. Does that make sense? And that's what we see in the scripture. And so 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Do you see that? Who shall be able to teach others also. That's the point. That's discipleship. We take what we've learned in the base things of getting somebody through that baby stage, unto maturity. We take what we've learned, and then we commit that to those faithful men that we've encouraged to be faithful from the point that they were born again. Faithful, amen? We commit that so that then they now are able to teach others also. What good is Bible knowledge if we've never seen a precious soul saved by what we were taught and then able to be trained up in at least the base doctrines of the Word of God? You see, and that is what God has called us to do. Titus 2, by the way, speaks of the need for mature women saints teaching the younger and mature men saints teaching the younger. Titus 2 spells that out very, very, very plainly. And then in Acts 8, look there, please, Acts 8. This is the last place I'll have you to turn, I believe. Acts 8 and verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him. Now, Philip was an evangelist. He was called down into the desert there, and he found the Ethiopian. And this is what happens. It says, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? What's that tell us about him? We know he's lost, right? But we know that he's not at a place that he can teach himself, right? Lost people are not at a place that they can teach themselves. But wait a second, neither are babes in Christ, right? They need somebody to guide them, amen? And so, and he desired Philip. Look, there's a desire. He wants to learn. That's a blessing, amen? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip. He was paying attention. Watch this. And said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture, Old Testament scripture, I might add, Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By the way, that declaration, as the Lord was talking to the disciples, when Peter responded as such, he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, amen. And so that declaration was understood to be from God himself. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. So he didn't sprinkle, amen. They went into the water, and he baptized him. Number one, purpose of all mankind is every person must be born again. They must be saved. It's a command of God. To not be saved will be to break a commandment of God. Number two, then, you must be a disciple. You have to be interested in learning. And I believe there's probably some in this room, you're saved, but you've never taken an interest. You require somebody else to take a spoon and shove it in there for you. Amen. And even sometimes they have to pry your lips open. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not all that interested in learning. And some of you would say you're interested, but everything else gets in the way. You're too busy to read the Bible. You're too tired. You got this going on. You got that going on. You got friends. I mean, you got all this happening. You're not at that. You just need to yield to be a disciple. Take an interest in above everything else, desiring to grow, to learn. Amen. And then thirdly, once you get past that stage, once you've yielded to be a disciple and you learn the base things of the Word of God, now you're ready to actually lead someone to Jesus. Amen. And then once you lead them to Jesus, now you get to go to that fourth stage where now I get to disciple them. And it's a responsibility. It's not just, oh, if I have time. No more than if we have a child together, we're not going to say, man, great, we got that child birthday done with. There you go. There's the child. No. If I've led someone to Jesus, then I need to take it upon myself to train them up. We see that with Paul. Does that make sense? Can I say, everything I just gave right there, that's the whole Christian life. That's it. God hasn't given us anything else to do besides that. If you boil down everything in Christianity, it all falls in that right there. Those four things, that's it. Is that crazy? Isn't that nice that we just simplify things? Question is this. Where are you at in those four things? If you're lost, you need to be born again. If you're saved, but you're still a babe, not based on your perspective, but on God's, you need to take an interest in being discipled. And I guarantee you this. If you become interested in being discipled, there will be. It might not be the one that led you to the Lord. I'd like for that to be the case. God would like for that to be the case because there's a connection there. But if that's not able to be had, I guarantee you, you make known your desire to be taught, there will be others. There will be those in your church that God will raise up to lead you. Amen? You say, well, that person's not real. You hound them. You call them. And you say, it's disciple time. This is discipleship time. So I got this one. You better put that off. You said you're going to disciple me. No excuses. Are kids persistent? Are little kids persistent? Anybody have little kids? Are they persistent? Do they take no ease lightly? No. They have a million questions, don't they? And they hang on your shirt tail, hang on your coat. They don't leave you alone. That's the kind of disciple you need to be. Don't leave that one alone that's supposed to be discipling you. Don't just let it go by very quickly. If it's important to you, amen. And then once you're discipled, you've got past that place of immaturity. You know the base doctrines of the Word of God now. You actually can read and study on your own and you're getting things from the Word of God. You've matured. Now the next step is you need to go win someone to Jesus. Say, well, that takes time. Doesn't everything? And if you say you're mature and you've never led someone to Jesus, and that's where you need to live right there. You need to learn how to communicate the truth of the gospel and go out and lead someone to Christ. Amen. And if you need help in that, I want to help you in that. There's a lot of us that will help you. Amen. And then once we get that, once you get someone, now you get to disciple. That's the Christian life. That's it in a nutshell. Thoughts, questions? No? Amen. Well, let's do it. Amen. We're going to, in the weeks, we're talking to some others, we're going to try to make Wednesday night, we're going to try to help in the area of discipleship. And we're gonna be unveiling some things on Wednesday night to where we can have some tools. Because I really believe that our church would be a whole lot better off if we would fortify this area a little bit. And so you pray for me and others as we try to put this thing together. And if you have specific needs that you in this area, if you'd let me know, we'll try to teach to that and try to make an environment to where we can have a time where we really focus on a proper discipleship mechanism at all levels. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for just simple teaching in the Word of God. And Lord, I know you teach this way because I know for me, I'm pretty simple-minded at times, and I don't deal well with complexity, but Lord, if you lead me like you would a child, that's all I am. Lord, I know that I can grasp these things by thy Holy Spirit and run with them. When things get complex, Lord, we tend to kind of feel burdened down and weighted down, and we don't know what to do with that. But God, if we can just grab hold of some of these things, Lord, we can run with it. And Lord, as you direct, great things can take place for thy glory. God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for the souls that have been saved. This year has been a really good year along those lines. And but Lord, help us not to allow any to fall to the ground and for us to take responsibility there. And Lord, if there are those in this room that maybe aren't even at that discipleship level yet, they're not taking an interest on their own. They need spoon-fed. They need forced. There's no interest there. God, I pray that, God, you would deal with them on that and show them that God, there's as a Christian, there's nothing more important than being grounded in the Word of God. And we know in Hebrews it talks about when they ought to be teachers. They had need that they were taught the first principles of the oracles of God. And they had need that they would be fed with milk and not meat. And it was past that time. They should have been at that place they could teach, but they weren't. And God, they were rebuked over that. And so help us not to be in that same place. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for what you're doing. We love you. We thank you for this, just this evening and all you've done in Jesus' name.